God, we worship you. We thank you so much for this day that you have made. We rejoice in your presence and we are glad. Father, I come to humble myself, Lord. I strip myself of every confidence that I might have in my knowledge or preparation of Lord God. I'm asking for mercy. The Bible says that it is required in a steward that it might be found faithful. That through covering you help me to be faithful to minister the word, to teach, to preach at an oracle of God, to bring out of the treasure of the word things both new and old as a scribe instructed unto kingdom. Also, as the word goes forth, it will go forth in power, in accuracy, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, bringing an edification of everyone that is here today and listening to this message. Lord, causing us to be edified, to be blessed, that the world will break yokes in our life, cause needs of men, cause glory to go to the name of Jesus Christ, and blessings unto us, the sons of men, in the name of Jesus. Father, also ask for help to redeem the time, not to say things that are unnecessary. The Holy Spirit, once again, I set you at my right time, that as I come and help me to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Come and testify of him as you go into your word this morning. My God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for everything you do today in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've been in the book of 1 Timothy for some time now, and in the last time we're in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, we could not go beyond verse 1. So let's open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 1. And in that, we are talking about Paul's instruction to his spiritual son Timothy. I'll just quickly do a brief summary of what we said and so we can have an understanding of what this particular chapter is about, because Paul was trying to convey the mind of God to Timothy's spiritual son. And he said something. He said that thou shalt not, are we there? He says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as what? A father. And the younger men as brethren. We were talking about fathers last time, and we spoke extensively about how God wants us to honor fathers. And we said not only physical fathers, but spiritual fathers. Even another version says how to honor the elderly one. Elderly, those that are above us. Because there's a temptation when God raises up somebody in ministry, it's not supposed to be so, to despise or to take that authority and to use it. But God has put a proviso there. Said, don't rebuke an elder. Say, but entreat him as a father. Say, entreat him as a father. That word entreat should remind you of a particular place in the Bible. You know, to entreat means to plead, to beg. You know, when you talk about Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebecca. So he wasn't commanding God. He wasn't talking to God anyhow. He was saying, please, Baba, shanu me. So God, if you take that word entreat, so that's how God wants us to honor or to speak to our fathers or those that are elderly people. Either they are educated or they are not educated. Either they are born again or they are not born again. So, in summary of that, that's what we spoke about. Is they say, I put it here, I say, Paul begins to instruct his spiritual son Timothy on how to treat and to relate to those under his charge. And if you look at it, as we'll see later on, it speaks about elderly fathers, mothers, young men, young women, widows, and also spiritual elders under him. So he began to tell him, now you are anointed. Now the grace of God is upon your life. But learn to dwell with your people, how to speak to them, to conduct yourself. Praise the Lord. So, and basically this is done by relating to them in love. Say, by relating to them in love. That is the summary. That's why you see there's no way you can do any of the things that you are supposed to do or you're not supposed to do if you don't grow in love. So we are to relate to them in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 14 says, let all things be done in love. So, relate to the elderly people in love. The elderly women in love. The younger women in love. The brethren in love. I'll just give an example about Lord Jesus Christ. Put the Bible, John chapter 13, verse 1, in Amplified. Because he too had people under him at that time. He had elderly people, he had young men, you know, women and all those. So, Paul was, so what does he say in Amplified Bible? He says that now before the Passover feast began, Jesus knew, was fully aware that his time had come for him to leave this world and return to the Father. Now, this is what I want to get to. I say, and as he had what? Let's together. Loved what? Those who were his own in the world. He loved them to the what? To the last and to the highest degree. That's how he dealt with people that were under him. So we need to dwell or to deal with people like that. Very, very important. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So in our last lesson, we spoke about that aspect, you know, and I would like to move on a step further today. And to the second aspect, which is the part B of 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit, please help me. Are we there? What does it say? It says that, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. Say, younger men as brethren. Before we move to younger men, I put it here when I was preparing. You see, anything that borders along rebuking an elder, you know, or Bible says censoring them sharply, I think in Amplified, has to do with Satan and his nature. Yes. We can talk about what we should not do, but like Pastor has taught, we should also let people know how to do it. I can say, don't rebuke an elder. The same Bible in Ephesians says that the father should not provoke their children to wrath. That means the tendency is there for it to occur. But you must now know the how of the how to keep your flesh under. So when you're in that situation, you can keep your body under and obey God's instruction. Because God will not say, because the man has provoked you and justify you for doing the wrong thing. I'm not going there again today. We only talked about, we gave the example of Ham. So what does he say? You see, Jesus Christ, I gave this example. If you look at the Bible, when Jesus Christ told his disciples after Peter got the revelation, and he said that, thou art the Christ, Son of living God, was very happy. So Jesus Christ began to, Bible says, he began to tell them about what will happen to him in Jerusalem, how he was going to die, and then the next thing happened, Peter just grabbed him and pulled him away, as if we are mates. No 2,000 cubits. And Bible says, he began to rebuke him. Said, this shall not happen to you. What nonsense is this? You can imagine. You know what Lord Jesus Christ said? He just looked at him and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Because the Lord saw the force, the spiritual force, behind what made Peter do what he did. So he did not react to Peter. He spoke to the spiritual force behind him. I said, we need to know the force behind him. Anything that borders against along the lines of rebuking elders, you know, has to do with Satan and his nature. So even though Peter had a revelation, maybe a few minutes before, or an hour, I don't know, about who Christ was, the next minute he had yielded to the devil, to his sin nature. And that was why the next thing that came out of the mouth of the Lord's Christ is very, very important in verse 14. You know what he said? He said, if any man will follow me, that means Peter, this morning you are not following me. Maybe he didn't pray that morning. If you look at it, he said, if any man follow me, he would deny himself and carry his cross daily. So very likely, as at that time, Peter didn't pick up his cross that morning. To show you that if you don't pick up your cross daily and die to the flesh, the tendency will be there. That flesh will run right against you and can make you rebuke an elder. Praise the Lord. So, and the younger men, like I said, as brethren, how do we do this? We love them. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Let's read together. Let brotherly love do what? Continue. That's it. We started already. But let this brotherly love, to relate to one another in love, like we said in 1 Corinthians, continue. And also, let's put another scripture behind this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because when John began to say the same things, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. So that we know that we have passed from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. That he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So you see, God is exhorting us, like he was telling Timothy. He says that treat the younger men as brethren. And we see here that Bible says, how do you treat brethren? He says, you love them. Praise the Lord. So, but however, does this mean that he should not rebuke the younger men? No. Part of love is rebuke. It's just that God has put a ceiling on that he must not pass this level. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. The master himself said it. What does it say? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It says that, take it to yourself. If thy brother trespass against you, do what? Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. End of story. So God allows those in authority to rebuke those that are under them. So that is very important. So you can't take that scripture and say, what you need? Come and rebuke, man. No. Or there will be chaos. I follow him. So he says, how do we do this? Pastor has taught over the years. I'll quote from Proverbs 27, verse 5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. So what we do is that, Pastor said it the other day, he said, open rebuke and secret love, that means it's the best. Yes. So we combine those, both of them. And simply put, we wash their feet. That's how we do it. You see, you rebuke them, And then you usually, you first of all ask life for them, ask for mercy by washing of feet. Then you can now call them and now rebuke or correct them. By the time you are doing that, the ground has been prepared of the heart of that person to receive that correction. Amen. You see, you don't just rebuke people anyhow. You first of all, once you say, if a man see his brother sin, a sin not of death, he shall first of all ask for life. Then after asking for life, the Lord allows you, can now correct and rebuke him. Amen. That life prepares the ground to receive the seed of correction. Just like doctors, whenever they want to do any operation, they don't just start slashing the person. The person will die. The pain will be too much. That's why there's so much pain in the body of Christ today. People don't pray because when they see a situation, Bible says, if you see, first of all, that brother sin is sin, not of the right, you should ask for life, not rebuke. So when you now ask for life, God will now prepare, even before they get there, God will say, it's not necessary, has changed. But can you imagine if you want to do an operation and you don't apply the anesthetic, what will happen? And start pulling out the teeth of the person, the tooth. The pain will be too much. Amen. So that's the way God wants us to do it. Praise the Lord. So the Bible says that Revelation 3:19, Master himself said, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. So rebuke is an integral part of love. But Master himself said this, so as many as I love, I rebuke and I also chasten. Now let's move on to verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for help. Verse 2, please. Verse 2 of 1 Timothy chapter 5. Thank you. The elder women as mothers, younger sisters with all purity as sisters. Let's take it again. The elder women as mothers, the younger sisters with all purity. The younger as sisters. Thank you, sir. With all purity. It says that the elder women as mothers. Another version says that honor them like your own mother. The way you treat your mother. Treat the elderly women that are in your church are under you. Are you following me? So treat them, see them like your own mother. And the pastor normally says, the Bible says that, some master was talking, see, nobody that left father, mother, and shall have 100-fold return. So you have many mothers. But say, treat them like your own mother. Are you following me? And said, the younger as sisters with all purity. Say, all purity. Let's now begin to take it one by one. The elderly women as mothers. You should add with through the elderly women in church under us. Or it also applies to wherever we are. The same honor that we give to elderly fathers. Are you following me? It's the same honor we give to elderly women. Amen. What we honor them. We don't rebuke an elder. We don't rebuke elderly women. God does not support it. We don't have that as backup. The same characteristics of our relating to elderly men also applies to relating to elderly women. Praise the Lord. We entreat them. We beg them. Are you following me? Like also, you know, when I was going through this, Paul, look at Paul. You know, when I was talking about sisters, well, he referred to, I think it was Phoebe. He called Phoebe their sister. You see, there's something about leadership and a relationship to younger women under them. So treat them, the younger one, like sisters. He now says, with all purity. Say, all purity. Very important. We'll see that why that is very important. Now, I put there, I say, why is God through Paul instructing Timothy this way? Why? I put there, because God says that endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, a leader that does not know how to talk to his people or to relate to them will affect the unity of the Spirit. So what God wants to do, he can't do it. Because of offense. I follow me. Like he comes now, he rebukes somebody, and then I rebuke you, and we all gather, there won't be unity in the house. I must say, a house that is divided against itself shall not stand. So Bible says, a wise man keepeth his anger, keep quiet. Till later. So after everything, you cannot talk to them. So God is very, very, doesn't want them to affect the unity of the Spirit. And a house divided against itself cannot stand. Then finally also, if Timothy did not take it to himself, by obeying these instructions, it will affect him spiritually and physically. Why? Because the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that he may be well with you, that he may live long on the earth. So the way he treated the elderly people under him will also affect him. Are you following me? So it is very important for us to take to this thing wherever we find ourselves. So we are to honor them. You know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32 says, thou shalt rise up before the worried. That is part of the honor you give to fathers and mothers. As we are talking, it's not only physical, also spiritual. You honor them. You respect them. And I have a very good example that I'm looking at. I'm looking at the life of Solomon. It's a very, very good example in the Bible. I believe that a greater than Solomon is here. Christ is not the hope of glory. So God expects more from us than what we read about Solomon. So what did Solomon do about his mom? 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David his what? Father. And his kingdom was established greatly. By the time you get to this stage, if you're not careful, you don't keep your flesh under, nobody will to even move near you. Mama will come from the village. You won't even know she's been there. And then she will go. She says, Mama, in-law, driver, please. I'm going to see new garage. As if taking her to new garage or old garage is what matters. You know, because that's what pride does. You forget the years of Mama's labor. You forget all that Mama has done. We not only sing that song, Sweet Mother. When I no sleep, my mother no go sleep. All the sacrifice of the either spiritual or physical. You see, but God does not want us to forget. That's why He's telling us these things so that we can live long. There is a promise tied to it, longevity, just by honoring them. So, verse 19 of this same chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 19, please. So, Bathsheba therefore went into what? Unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king did what? Say, rose up to meet her and did what? Bowed himself unto her and sat down on his throne and caused what? A seat to be set for the king's mother. And she sat on his what? Right hand. Say right hand. Say right hand. You see, at this time, Solomon, so to speak, arrived. God has given him wisdom, you know, more than a sound of a seashore, whatever. But the moment the woman that gave birth to her, spiritually or physically, entered, they stood up. So the scripture had to stand up when parents, either spiritual or physical, enter to wherever you are. Either they come to visit your office, you stand up. Either you hear that they're outside, you go and meet them. You go and collect their bag. Before you now sit back on your throne. Are you following me? Before you now, yes, you prostrate, you greet them. Why? We're going to see the importance of this very soon. We're going to see the importance of this. And I'm saying that it is not just whether she's educated or not educated. Whether she's the one that gave birth to you. She's the one that carried for 9 months. She gave birth to you. She made a lot of sacrifice. I mean, there are some times that when your parents begin to tell you things they did for you to be alive, you'll be afraid. Clean your diapers. Sell their possessions to make sure you go to school. Deny themselves legitimate things so I can be where you are today. So why should that woman walk into your presence and then you sit in your own throne or the chairman's seat in your office? You stand up. All scripture is written for what? Our admonition. For instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, Timothy, whoever you are, whoever, maybe I've forgotten, no, made perfect. I follow him. So we've seen that now. So what I said, I asked God, I said, why did he put his mother at his right hand? There must have been many chairs in the palace now. Mama, a joke was there. No, but he took a chair. Now there was no chair there before. I put that to the right hand. The right hand in the Bible speaks of the highest place of honor before the king. The Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God the Father. So when he saw that woman come, he said, yes, he recognized some things that I will talk to you about today. That if not for this woman, I will not be here today. So he got a chair and put it next to the right hand. Said, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemies my footstool. That speaks again of the church. But let me just stay with mothers today. And why we need to repent if you are not been honoring them. and give you honor to whom honor is due. And it's not common in this generation. Many people, they just send money to her. Mama, drive ever angry one. Mama, ever make her one rally. Then when the mama dies, the money they did not spend for her, now begin to spend. Pride of life. To show off, they go and buy a casket that is more expensive than where mama was living before she died. Buy all kinds of stuff. Spend and waste money after mama has gone. And the Bible says that they shall eat the fruit of their labor. So if we don't eat it from you, you are a thief. You've eaten that which belongs to another woman or another man. Let's meet. There's so much to say. I just want to stick. So what am I saying? When he entered, Solomon remembered. One, he recognized that without his mother, he would not be king. Why? Because it was Bathsheba, his mother, that went unto King David, obeying the prophetic word of Nathan. They did not even consult Solomon. He did not even have an idea what was going on. Nathan just said, look, Etielmelo, they are going to kill you and your son. Immediately, I trust you. Oh, son, giant. He just ran inside the palace. Just like when we didn't know anything, some of our parents, they will make a covenant with God that this child, God, like Anna, please, it doesn't matter how they are born again, please, they will make a covenant ahead of time. When you now begin to walk in those promises, remember, it didn't just happen like that. Somebody gave back to you and to those promises. So, they did not even consult with him. So, Solomon was not consulted. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 16. Are we there? And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? Remember Esther. You see, that shows you the heart of this woman. She heard the prophetic voice of Nathan. She did not say it does not matter. She understood the significance of what God has said about Solomon. So she ran immediately and went to the king. Verse 17. And she said unto him, my Lord, thou swearest by the Lord that I got unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Next verse. Are we there? And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth, and now, my Lord the king, thou knowest it not. Let me stop there. You see, when she went into see Solomon, David, sorry, it was a wrong thing. She was going to ask for Abishag, she was going to ask for Abishag for Adonijah. But that did not hinder Solomon from standing up. What am I saying? Because of her knowledge. She did not understand the times and the seasons and what was going on. But yet, her mother stood up. She stood up for her mother. What am I saying? It is not whether you now know more than them. Or maybe you think you're not educated, so they can't talk to you again. Solomon still listen. The next thing I want us to understand is that, number two, is that David swore to Bathsheba, not to Solomon. We just read it. Solomon was not even involved in the case. Just like God swore to Abraham and not Isaac. Solomon did not even have an idea. At times they send you to school. You are there. You don't know what is going on. You don't come for honor. They come for honor. They are crying to God, please have mercy on my son. Have mercy on my daughter. Like Anna said, God, give me a child. I'll give him back to you. I just secured someone's destiny. So, the principle here, I put there, Acts chapter 13, verses 32 to 3. I just joined two verses together. So you can see the importance of honoring fathers. How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God had fulfilled the same unto their children. I won't turn there. I just quoted. That's what it says. God will make a promise to your father and not fulfill and have a children. That's how he operates in the Bible. He will call somebody Tell him this is what I'll do. He will swear, I will do it. Don't worry. When that is done, like Papa Kelly said, the end is secure because the seed is saved. But that seed must learn to honor those that got God into that position to swear. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, so and then the third thing is that it was his brother that was involved in his upbringing, not just physically, but also spiritually. Whatever Solomon learned when he was young, it was David and his mom that taught him. Yes. Ethics of how to live. Go to church. Follow daddy to church. Do this, do that. It is very important. Proverbs 1:8 says, forsake not the law of your mother. Don't forsake it. Say, keep the instruction of your father. Forsake not the law of your mother. It comes, God has made it that way. You can't get everything from one person. Instruction will come from the father. That speaks, talks about the wisdom of God, apostolic. Then the law comes from the mother. So we'll look at our example. We'll look at Grandma Lois and Eunice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, amplify it. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. How are we there? Amplify it. How are we there? It says, I am calling. You know, it was reminding, you know, we're talking about Timothy. So yes, talking to him, he said, I am calling up what? Memories of your sincere and unqualified faith. The leaning on of your entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness. A faith that, let's get that first what? Lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I am fully persuaded, dwells in you also. Fulfilling Isaiah 59, verse 21. Say this word that I put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, matter of seed and seed. So you see, from Lois, passed down to Eunice, preparing Timothy, fulfilling purpose and destiny when he met Paul. You now want to tell him that Timothy should not honor his mother. Remember, his father was a Greek. That was the only line given to him. Just, and his father was Greek. Full stop. So the responsibility was on these two people. To make sure that Timothy... I want to say my point. Help me, Holy Spirit. Verse 2b, as we continue. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. It says that the elder women as mothers... The younger as sisters with all purity. Say all purity. All purity. Bible talks about all. It means all. And here it's talking about purity in thought, word, and in deed. Very important. We have a problem in the body of Christ today. I'm amazed when I see young children kiss and they say it doesn't matter. They look at you and what are you talking about, uncle? Yoruba ni inti oba ti ni je ko ni fi rumu. What you are not going to eat, you're not bringing down your nose. Because when the aroma enters your nose, you are going to do more than what you have started doing. So there's so much ease in the body of Christ today. But God does not support you to. You know why? The master himself said something. When he talks about purity here, he's talking about abstaining from all appearance of sexual immorality. That's what he's talking about. Here he's not even talking about purity of heart. That's part of it. But he's talking about avoiding immorality. This word purity occurs twice in the Bible. It was Paul that talked about it in the book of Timothy. Giving the same instruction. So in thought, word, and in deed. That's what God is talking about. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. At least if Jesus Christ said it, we obey. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old. Thou shalt not commit what? Adultery. Next verse. But I say unto you, but that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, adore or commit adultery with her already in his heart. There's a big problem in the church today. We see as we go on, start talking about the children of Eli. It starts at the thought level. Bible says, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, what are we saying? If you say take every thought captive, that means before that means the thought is going to take it captive. You don't take it captive. That means there's always a window of opportunity for you to quickly take it captive. Now, if you don't take it captive, we'll take you captive. Don't you get the reasoning? Say, take it, if you say take it captive, that means at that time, he has not taken you captive. So if you take it captive before it takes you captive, I would say that was snared by the word of a mouth. So I follow me. So you take it captive. So how do we do this? That's important. I want to say, so I'm not trying to condemn anybody. How do you do this? Very, very simple. Verse 28. Let me read verse 28 of that same verse. I put it down. No, I put it down. Verse 28 of 5, Matthew 5. Okay, let's just continue. How do we overcome this? Very simple. We've been taught. We do this by daily prayer with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Hebrews 5, 7. Say, who in the days of his flesh? When the offered our presence of became strong crying and tears, or to him that was able to save him from death, or to him that was able to save him from immorality. Or that morning prayer that the master was praying, it was not just to save him from physical or spiritual death, to save him from every attack of Satan that will make him stumble and sin. So you too, when you are praying, you recognize that it's a warfare. So you release those spiritual forces when you pray your morning prayer. Then second, now move ahead with a diligent walk in the spirit. I don't have time to go there. Galatians chapter 5 verse 2 says, it says, walk in the spirit and you shall not. That means the forces of walking in the spirit are stronger than the forces of the flesh. All those things I listed there. He says, if you walk in the spirit, you shall not fulfill those of the flesh. And he lists them. Are you following me? And then finally, which you have to do, flee or abstain from every, even after you prayed, you bound the devil. You are walking in the spirit. When somebody looks at an appearance, he's talking about to do with they come for counseling at the wrong hour of the day. Or it comes to you and sends, now they may not even come, they may come, you may be counseling people on what's it called, WhatsApp. Your brother just block that number before he starts sending pictures to you. Because you see, Satan has stepped a bit higher. Are you following me? So you don't need to, like, because God was telling me when I was wasting too much time on WhatsApp. God said, in those days, you used to go to Queen Cinema to go and watch a film, sneak out of a dormitory. Now you can be in your house with your phone and they send a clip to you. By the time you watch it four or five times, you spend 30 minutes. What another one? So you have already watched a film in Queen Cinema in your house without going to Queen Cinema at Bodija. Yes, the devil has just moved in. Quietly moved in. I'm not saying using WhatsApp is wrong, but use it for the right reasons. Don't let it use you. So what am I saying? Say abstaining from all appearance of evil. Bible says flee fornication. Two things the Bible talks about fleeing from. Say flee adultery, flee fornication. Don't say it doesn't matter. I'm strong enough. Now we'll look at two examples in the Bible as we continue. The example of Ophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. Help me, Holy Spirit. Are we there? It says, now Eli was very old and heard, say heard, all that his sons did unto all Israel. All Israel, the sin that these boys committed, it was not just to those ladies that were having whatever with all Israel. And how, what, they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. It's unimaginable. You see, those, if you read the Amplified, it says that those that serve, you know, young, they will come. Can you imagine you have a young daughter? You want her to honor God with her life. So you say, oh, please, oh, go to the mouth of one of them. Hurry, 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 hurry. Then those, Eli, on Eli's children, that's often opinion, that's supposed to help them do what they have come to do. They take advantage of them. So they sinned against all Israel. So, why? I said, what was the problem with the children of Eli? Problem number one was their father. Eli! Eli didn't train or discipline them well. I must say he didn't discipline, but he did not do it well. You see, when God disciplines, he makes sure that discipline is thorough. That is why he did not allow Miriam to come back the fourth day. He didn't allow her to come back second until the seventh day when it was thorough. And okay, you will not do it again. Ever come back to the camp. It did not. It must have disciplined them. It must have taught them. Because if he didn't teach them, how would they know how to do the sacrifices? But did not do it well. Like Abraham said, I know Abraham. He will command. When you command, you also stay there to make sure to do it. Then you say, let me, yeah, you've read your Bible. I want to see what did God tell you. You don't take the word that I've read it. What did you read today, my son? Person will tell you. then you now begin to watch. But say a child is known by his own whether it's going to be good or bad. So you now begin to, you said you read this, but how come you are doing this? Now, that does not mean that they don't make mistakes. But please don't let the mistakes get to the level of Ophni and Phinehas. So that's why, you know what God did? It was Eli's responsibility. So God sent to Eli, not the children. He sent the man of God to him. Same thing with Adam and Eve. God didn't talk to Eve. Adam, where are you? God was not begging. So anybody that God gives responsibility to is the one that will give an account at the end of the day. So he said to a prophet, to Eli. And you know the story. Let's just mention a few things. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27. Help me, Lord, Holy Spirit. That's 27. Say, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear to you unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Next verse. And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? By the time it gets to this stage, that rebuke comes from outside, that person must have been very dishonest. You know that prophet that was sitting in somewhere, I can't remember, in the time of Jeroboam. There was an old prophet there who was docile. So God had to send another young prophet. Oh yeah, go and speak to him. So verse 30. What does 30 say? Let me just repeat off time. 30, just jump. Say, whereunto the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me. For them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. What was it? The honor that Eli brought to God. He did not discipline his children. And the Bible said he heard. But I did not know. If we down the line, the last verse in this chapter is verse 36. Put it there. Look at Eli's attitude. You see, and he said, and it shall come to pass, blah, 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 put me, I pray, talking about the judgment. There was no verse 37 that said, and Eli fell on his face and began to weep and cry, God. That was the end. Is there any verse 37 there? So you can see the attitude of Eli. After you hear this, the nigga, you tear his garment and say, God, please forgive me. That is, please give me one more chance. No. Eli just said, it is well. Where the kinny? It is the Lord. Yeah, he said it is the Lord. Yeah, that was when someone spoke to him. But there was no verse 37 here when the man of God spoke to him. Because he did not repent, God now sent another witness to him, to Samuel. Samuel had not yet grown to the age to speak to him. But because God wanted to make sure, so we don't have an excuse, he did not know. So he spoke to Eli. I'll say the vision of God was very scarce. So he spoke to Samuel in the dream. So Samuel now kept quiet, talking about not rebuking an elder. Samuel understood, just kept quiet. This one is beyond me. Just kept quiet. So when, because he had asked him that, who will pay next time when he calls you, say, speak on the servant. You know that story? So he now forced him and said, okay, yeah, the Lord do so to me. So he told him what God said. Do you know what Eli said? He said, it is the Lord. Let him do as well, what has pleased him. He's there. Put it on the board. I don't want to say, how long can I you? So, the second point I put here about Elias, says, by reason of time, his children did not know the Lord. They were adults. Bible calls them young men. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. You see, I'm going to tie to the church today. So, you don't see Eli as your neighbor. Are we there? He says, now, say, now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They did what? They knew not the Lord. Time to pray. What does it mean to know the Lord? I'll summarize. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. Is to know God's character. It says, I'm a God of loving kindness, justice, and righteousness. They understood God's loving kindness. They did not understand his judgment. So the loving kindness that pastor has taught us is let's skip over the judgment and go straight to righteousness. But they did not know the Lord. We know God at three levels. This is eternal life. John 17:1. That I know the only true God. That is having the life of God. Move from your spirit. When we cry, Abba Father, have to get born again. And to your soul. You know God by revelation. And then to your physical body. So I say they did not know the Lord. They were sons of Belial. So you know why? What happened? God judged them. So God is apparently today changing the priesthood, as mommy has taught us, from Eli to Samuel. And a kingship from Saul to David. But everything hinges on Samuel's growth. See, God could not do anything to Eli and his children until Samuel grew to maturity. Let's run the scriptures through it. Help me, Holy Spirit. There were two ministries operating under Eli, like we have in the church today, as so-called fathers in the body of Christ. A ministry to the Lord, like Samuel, a type of Zadok ministry, Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 15 to 16. We don't have time to turn there. You can put it on the board. It was talking about the sons of Ezekiel. This one, you minister to me. You can put it on the board. I just keep talking because of time. The second ministry is the very popular one that we all know. Typified that Ophni and Phinehas, the priests that led God's people astray into idolatry. Ezekiel chapter 44, verses 10 to 14. You can check it and put it on the board there. So there are two ministries operating in the body of Christ today. Samuel and Eli's son's ministry. All in the body. God said, wait till the harvest. Say, leave them. When the harvest time, the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's going to fast. I will do what? Bind the tears and remove strange children. No covetousness has to do with idolatry. So, I want to help me, Holy Spirit. The Eli ministry, sir, maybe about 5 minutes. Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 13. Talks about Eli's children. He said that they ministered with a flesh hook of three teeth. The loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. But God raised up another ministry today. He said, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument. That means he's done away with the flesh hook of three teeth. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. Please just put it there. The second problem was a lack of restraint. Manifested self-control. Inability to crucify the flesh using the blood, the word, and the spirit. That was the problem. Understand what we're talking about. Don't just look at the problem, look at the root. If you don't deny yourself in prayer, use the blood, word, and spirit to pray and to walk in the spirit, wash feet, you're going to do the same thing. Even worse. But we'll not do it in Jesus' name. So God talks about it. So God said, God was talking about how they took the offering. I don't just want to round up. I don't want to. So why didn't Eli restrain his sons? That's the next one I asked God. Yes. He heard. He saw everything. He realized some of them have spoken to him. You know why? Because a major part of the offering that his children took goes back to man of God at the headquarters. You see, Eli had two branches, so to speak, Ophni and Phinehas. So every time they took meat, the Baba is waiting there. So when he heard that they were committing fornication and adultery, he could not talk. Because if he corrected them, nothing will come up again. The offering will drop. So how are you going to pay for the debts? How are you going to pay for the houses everywhere? So every branch must bring back something to the man of God. So that is why he didn't talk. Because if he told them to stop, that would be the end of the offering. So everything they do, they tie to offering. You want to buy a shoe, any of their messages, you can check. When you look under, you see price tag. There will be something there. I just had an example. That was why he did not talk. That's why God is going to change the priesthood. That's why we know this branching is not of God. Now within there are Samuels there that are growing. So God is not going to destroy everybody. So let's see okay, thank you, sir. Under covering. So let's look at Samuel's growth in grace. Bible says grow in grace. So you see, as God was talking about what Eli's you are doing, he began to talk about Samuel. Five times. times in the Bible, in the book of 1 Samuel, you got to talk about Samuel's growth. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 18. Just put there, we're talking. And Samuel ministered before the Lord. Says Samuel ministered before the Lord. If you read the preceding verses, he talks about how they were misbehaving, committing adultery. But he said, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, guarded with what? A linen ephod. The next time the Bible talk about his growth was Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. And the child Samuel did what? Grew before. Okay. As after, there's no time. You see, his mother used to make a coat of many colors to him for him. Talking about his good. So, and the Lord was at the bottom. Says, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. That's number two. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 26. God is not just talking for talking's sake. So as something is going on that you can see in the body of Christ, like the wheat and the tears. Some are growing in the wrong direction. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot see. Some of us are growing the other direction. So 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with the Lord and also with men. God had added favor to the boy. The first time, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel did what? Ministered what? Unto the Lord. Is he on the board? There was a change here. Initially, he ministered before the Lord. But now he began to minister unto the Lord. That was when God retired Eli. That was when he entered the Zadok ministry. For they shall minister unto me. He was not a man minister before. He now began to minister to him. That was where the upgrade came. The fifth time, says 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. By that time, Samuel was. Okay. I said, and Samuel, the fifth time says, and Samuel grew and the Lord was within habitual fellowship. And did not what? Let any of his words fall to the ground. What will not make your word fall to the ground? The spirit without measure. Doing types and shadows. He said, the one that, John chapter 3, verse 34. He said, the one that speaks the word of God, God gave him a spirit without measure to him. So by the time he got to this place, none of his words fell, but one said it was done. When he was going to make a mistake, God made sure he did not make the mistake, so will not disqualify him. But he said, this is Lord's answer. He said, no, that's not him. Don't talk yet, Samuel. None of your words will fall to ground. Because by this time, like a type, types and shadows, he had inherited something. Are you following me? John 3:34 says, whom speaketh the word, God gave him a spirit without measure. The only thing that will not make a word fall to ground is the spirit without measure. So you can see Samuel's growth in grace, in humility, those five times until he came into the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm not saying he grew to Christ. We're doing types and shadows. Are you following me? And then he got to a place that the Bible says that in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. The Bible just said, and all Welsh world shall know that I have sent you. When that spirit, that measure is released. That is the season we are in now. So what is God saying to us? He's saying unto us, leave Eli and his sons. Concentrate on growth. As you keep on growing, you grow like those five stages. Are you following me? It kept on decreasing and Christ was increasing. Are you following me? They got to a stage, stage five. His word never fell to the ground again because he had received the Spirit. And then I put it here as Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 says, he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. So come to a place that God says that Samuel was established as a prophet. God now established his body that is raising up. So what are we saying? Let me just stop because of time. It is a day of vengeance, as we have been told, in which God is going to remove Eli and bring in Samuel. Eli and his sons have been growing the other way. But Samuel has been growing into the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ. It is when that spirit comes upon Samuel that will now trigger the day of vengeance. So if you don't grow, nothing will happen. Let them grow until they harvest. But if you keep on growing and growing and growing and growing, what will happen? There will come a time that that spirit will be released first unto us under the right leadership as a bold anointing. That Jesus Christ said, I know that you hear me always. Why? Because of the spirit of that measure. So in summary, let me close with this. I'll just put it down. See, God is saying to us that we should concentrate all our efforts on spiritual growth into maturity, till we obtain the spirit without measure, like Samuel, using him as a type. Firstly, as a broad anointing, under covering, till we get the fullness. How do we do this? We hasten the manifestation of his glory by praying more fervently and praying more frequently. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord another super clap offering. Interestingly, I was looking at Pastor Guiga. You know, we just did one verse. Praise the Lord. Just verse 2. Everything you've heard today, just verse 2. Honor your father. Entreat, you know, and treat the women with all purity. And honor your mothers. You know, honor the mothers, the elderly women as mothers. That's all, you know, but it shows you how pregnant the Word of God is. That's why you can't just skim over the Bible. You got to go deep to find out what the Holy Spirit is saying. And like we've said so many times, and we'll keep saying, the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. You've got to find out what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit behind the words. The Bible is not an intellectual book that you just cram and you read, you know, like you read your medicine or your physics or your English. No, you got to find out what is in the mind of God. And so much has been said this morning, but I would like to just highlight what I believe are the things the Holy Spirit wants to really, really emphasize. And maybe just three things. The first one is this issue of honoring elders. That applies to father, mother, you know, both biological elders, spiritual elders. This issue of honoring our elders is something that is not emphasized as it should be in our present day. Pastor Boye, he didn't say it, but I know it's probably in his notes, you know, probably just didn't get to it. But it's in the book of Proverbs. It says there is a generation that does not honor their father or their mother. He said that the eagle will pluck out their eye. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. But this generation, one of the characteristics of this generation is rebellion. No regard, no honor for those who are in authority over us. And we're not just talking about spiritual authority alone in church. We're talking, this cuts across the board. It has to do with your relationship with your natural parents, even elderly people. You know, I was saying this jokingly at home, you know, and, you know, I'm teaching the younger children, you know, Angela and all these little ones too, you know, they're still small, but I'm trying to say that, you know, I remember when I was a child, the value system in Nigeria has changed terribly. Thank God we're Christians and we're teaching our children the right thing. I remember when I was a child, if my father or my grandfather, if they come into a place, everything you are doing stops. Instantly, you stand up and you just wait to find out what they are going to say. Whether you are going to be permitted to continue, that reverence is not there like it used to be. You know, and it's not fair because we loved our grandparents. We loved our parents. I still remember, you know. You know, I still remember, you know, specifically for me, you know, my grandfather on my mother's side, you know, he was a grand old man and all of that. We had this great reverence for him, but he was a very loving man. He would call you and then you would sit down, you would eat with him, you know. Then I remember those were the days of pound shillings and pence. My grandfather would bring out 10 shillings. 10 shillings was, ho! Then he would give me, they would give my brothers, you know. So he was a very nice person, but strict. You don't misbehave. And you knew it. You know, so these attitudes, and they are attitudes, you know, your mother, your father, you know, your pastor, you know, when it comes, you stand up.
doesn't, because, you know, it's just a question of respect. And it has to be ingrained. And it's tied to mercy and grace and fulfillment of destiny. Those who don't honor the elderly, they're not going to go far. It's not a curse, though. It's a fact. Because with it comes grace and mercy when you honor the elderly. And Pastor Dury brought this out beautifully. And it doesn't even matter if they've done something wrong, even if they provoke you. It doesn't give you the excuse to do the wrong thing. Now, of course, they too should not provoke you. The Bible says, you know, fathers don't provoke you. But the fact that they provoked you does not excuse you from doing the wrong thing. For instance, Moses was provoked by the children of Israel, and that provocation caused him to hit the rock. It cost him his destiny. God didn't say, oh, I understand, don't mind them. It's those people who are making you angry, you know, so it's okay. No. He said, you did not sanctify me before them. In other words, Moses' eyes should not have been on the people, should have been on God. You know, no matter what these people do, God, I still reverence you. So that's number one. The second thing that Pastor Dewey brought out, I think is very important for me to highlight, you know, is purity. This issue of purity, particularly sexual purity, and he zeroed in on the thought level. There is so much promiscuity and sexual impurity in the church today, and in the it's not just in the church, it's in the society. It's rampant. You put on the television, you know, everything. You just, you know, sexually suggestive material. Even the way women dress, and even the way women dress, the things you see, you know. So, as Christians, we're living in an evil environment. And you need to do something with the Word of God to make sure you sanctify your thinking and you make sure that the word is what controls your thinking. So when you do see something, and you get that beautiful thing about WhatsApp, you know, there's so much flying around on the internet now. So much rubbish. If you see something coming from somebody, or somebody says, block it. Block it immediately. Delete it from your phone. And block that something. You know, you can easily block so that they can't send you stuff. You know, it's very important, particularly for the young people. You know, it's true for all of us. You know, you want to make sure you can't think two things at the same time. If you bombard your heart and your mind with the Word of God and the things of the Spirit, there will be no room for those other negative things to come. Those things only come when there's a vacuum. And I'm saying this to the life of children, all of us. You know, make sure what you're feeding on is the Word of God. And things related to the Word of God, even the movies you watch. You know, before I watch something, I go and look at I like historical movies, you know, and things that, there was one particular one I saw the other day, but when we were looking at it, we saw that it was full of rubbish and all that. I just stopped it and took it off. Because I was interested because of the history, which is very good and all of that. But, you know, these days when they act these movies, they put all kinds of rubbish inside that are not necessary, that you could have cut out. So what am I saying? I'm saying it's very important. You go and look at the rating. Find out what did they say. So I don't waste my time now. I go and read about it to find out what is the movie about. Where is it going? What's the end game? If the end game is wrong, I don't waste my time. I have only 24 hours in a day, and I don't have time. Because I'm a praying person, I don't have time to waste. So I want to spend quality time in doing things that are profitable. Then the last thing, you know, you could say a lot about this purity thing, you know, and then, you know, the blood, the word, and the spirit, walking in the spirit, prayer. You can see all those things now. They are not luxuries. If you don't, dear Pastor, he said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What's the corollary? If you walk in the flesh, you didn't walk in the spirit. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, if you find that you're thinking, you know, every time this wrong thought is coming to your mind, this wrong feeling is coming, go and check. It means you're not walking in the spirit as you should be. If you start walking in the spirit, you correct it. And like he said, you bring it to captivity. those thoughts to the obedience of Christ. Those thoughts cannot dominate you unless you let them. Put the word, the blood, the word and the spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find you push it out. Finally, the last thing which he really took a lot of time on is this question of the sons of Eli and the present day condition of the church. The sons of Eli who are ministering to the people, you know, and their emphasis is on the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes, and the pride of life, getting money and offerings, you know. And then you've got the Samuel kind of ministry that is ministering, first of all, to the, you know, first of all, before the Lord, then to the Lord, and then finally growing into the fullness of Christ. The emphasis I want to leave here is this. You yourself, as a Christian, and this is to us as Christians, you know, you need to be discerning. What are you looking for? Who are you listening to? What are you exposing yourself to? What type of word are you listening to? You know, on the internet, you know, the WhatsApp, you get all kinds of things. I don't know how people get my number. You know, some people just send all kinds of silly things to me. A so-called Christian, you know. But you can see the emphasis is self. Kelly Vanna said it beautifully. It's man-centered. It's need-oriented. It's entertainment-based. You got to filter. Make it Christ-centered. Make it anointing-based. You know? Make it God-centered. Make sure that the things you're exposing yourself to, I think that because Pastor Joey said it by the Holy Spirit, and it is the truth, God is coming. And all of that house of Eli, and his children, and all that kind of ministry, is going to be destroyed. God is going to judge it. And so this is the time now to get it right. Make sure your priorities, you know, where you're listening to the word of God, that you're listening to what is going to be of great of spiritual growth. That's how I judge things. When I'm listening to somebody, you know, by the time I listen for 5-10 minutes, or somebody sends something to me, I just quickly find out where are they going. Is this for growth? Or is it just talking about, you know, God will do this, you know? You see all these people, everybody's sending prophetic declarations now. Prophetic declarations that have no foundation. No conditions are being fulfilled. You see, things are not going to happen just because you say so. They're going to happen because you say so and you're fulfilling the conditions for it to happen. They just don't happen like that. So it's very, 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 very sad. Oh, you know, these things that are so commonplace now that, you know, the unsuspecting, undiscerning Christian doesn't even recognize that this thing is a problem. They just think, you know, it's the word of God. It's the same, you know, they were all in the tabernacle. These sons of Eli. They were in the ministry. They were there. Let me say one last thing. I wrote it down when Pastor Joey was talking. What should Eli have done? Now, he didn't do it. What should he have done? Do you know what he heard? Your children. They weren't children, no. They were men. They were young men. They were probably in their 20s, in their 30s. You know, they were priests. You couldn't be a priest unless you were 30 years old. You know? He said, they were sleeping with women. They didn't do it in secret at the door of the tabernacle. Call on Shanuel. The door of the tabernacle. Then they were stealing the offerings from the people. This man, like Pastor Joey said, he'd become so compromised because of what the offerings that probably he'd be getting from his sons and all of that. But he should have removed them from the priesthood. He should have removed them from the priesthood. Suspend them. Take them out. After all, they were not the only priests. They were his sons, but they were not the only priests. You had Hod, you probably, at any time in Israel, you would have 50, 60, 100 priests. All the sons, they were not the only house of, from the house of Levi. Your dad said, now remove, you get out of the place. He would not have been a disgrace to him personally, but he would have said, at least, you know, you can't do, you can, I cannot hear this of you and you continue to do this. You get out of the place. And what the lesson we learn today is this. God forbid, if any of our children should be doing something that is not right, you should be the first one to call them to order. And if it is necessary to remove them from a particular position or whatever, you do so. What they think or what they feel is not important. What is important is to do the word of God. You do so. You do so. The fact that, you know, your child or your friend or relative or something, you can say, no, you can't do that. Would you get the report? Sleeping with women in the tabernacle? Are you crazy? So today, you know, you got all this going all over the whole place, you know, and many of the pastors are not standing up to it for the reasons that have been adduced, you know, because of what's going to come and all of that. And sadly, if it is not dealt with, you know, like Pastor Jay said, you know, Eli could have, if he had a heart, his heart too had degenerated. If his heart was where it should have been, when God sent him that warning, it should have struck his heart, removed those children, fell on his face, you know, started to seek God, put other people, other priests there who would maintain a good standard, you know, make sure he disciplined his boys. And you know what? He would have probably had some friction with them and all of that, which is okay, but he would not have lost them. The boys died. He too died. And Israel lost the ark. A stitch in time saves nine. If he had done what he should have done when he should have done it, it would not have deteriorated to that. In fact, in my own thinking, and I'm not God, when we get to heaven we'll find out, I don't know how things got so bad that the son of a priest himself, can start sleeping with women in the door of the tabernacle. It means that Eli himself had really degenerated. Because he shouldn't even have got to that level. You know, by the time, watch this, you know, by the time a report starts going around and people start hearing, it means that it must have been a continuous thing. Whereas if, God forbid, if something maybe had happened once and the dad heard about, he would never have got out. But he didn't do anything about it. When you see something that is wrong, do something about it immediately. Don't wait until the thing becomes rampant and everybody's talking about it and it's all over the whole place. You know, it gets much more difficult. Oh gosh, scripture just came to me. I trust I will close with this. When judgment against an evil work is not speedily executed, the hearts of men are fully set to do evil. That must not be our portion. So whenever you see an evil work, bring judgment against it speedily. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Just talk to God this morning. There's a lot of stuff God has given to us. But those three things, honor elderly people. The right attitude. It's not fear. It's reverence. Just honor. You know? Have that. Let it be in your heart. You see elderly people, you stand up. You bow. You know, sometimes if you need to prostrate, you do. You know, it's exercise. If you're not used to doing it, exercise yourself in it. Number two, make sure you're living a life of purity. And purity really is wrought at the thought level. If you win at the thought level, you will win at the psychological, you know, at the action and circumstance level. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Don't put yourself in any kind of compromised situation. And then finally, minister to the Lord. Don't just be for this show ministry of money and all of that. All that stuff is going to be judged. Let's talk to God. Put one hand on your heart. Raise your other hand to God. Just talk to God. I'm just going straight into prayer this morning. I say, God, please help me. These things I've heard, help me to show honor and respect for the elderly. Let it be in my heart. And help me to live a life of purity in my thoughts and in my actions. Abstain from all appearance of evil. He didn't even say evil, he said the appearance. Don't put yourself in a compromising room with a man or a woman. Like we've said so many times, don't stay alone in a room or, you know, in a place with a person who is not your wife. You know, you just, once you do obey some very simple common sense laws, there's no reason why such a thing should happen to you. And then, of course, you are controlling your thoughts. And then finally, you want to ask the Lord to help you. Not to participate with the house of Eli. The house of Eli is very rampant in the church today. They're taking money, sexual immorality, covetousness. These are the things that, you know, describe this type of ministry, this Eli ministry. And God's judgment is coming upon it. It's amazing that the Bible says they died in one day. And the glory was taken away from them. Raise that hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. Clean all of our hearts with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to us this morning. Remind us that we should honor the elderly, spiritual and physical, in our hearts, with our attitudes and with our actions, that we should stand up for the hoary head as an act of reverence. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to always, always, always show respect and honor to the elderly. And Father, help me to live a life of purity, especially with my thoughts. By your blood, your word, and the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to keep my thoughts pure, that when wrong thoughts come to my mind or to my eyes, I will immediately bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and abstain from all appearances of evil. And then, Father, I'm asking for help. Oh God, give me a discerning heart. So when I'm hearing messages in the body of Christ and I meet with other Christians, I will be able to locate them, Lord. And so I will not fellowship with or go to the house of Ahab, the house of Saul, or the house of Eli in this end time. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name, please be seated. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. I'm just repeating what was coming into my heart as we were praying. See, tell them, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. It's like as I was praying in the spirit, I was getting an interpretation, and I'm just bringing it out. What has Jehoshaphat gone to do in the house of Ahab? I know they are Christians. Jehoshaphat, Ahab was an Israelite. Saul was an Israelite. Eli was an Israelite. I'm not saying they're not Christians. But what is Jehoshaphat doing in the house of Ahab? I don't know who this word is for, but I believe it's for some of us. Oh, I'm walking in love. That's not love. That's foolishness. Pray for them. That's love. Ask God for it. But don't get fellowship. Don't get intimate. It almost cost Jehoshaphat his life. Jehoshaphat was trying to be nice, and he went and joined affinity with the house of Ahab, and then he went to war with him. He almost died. It was the mercy of God, and God was very angry with him, because when he came back, the prophet came and confronted him. Said, "What have you gone to do? I know they're Israelites. I know they're Christians. That's not love. It's foolishness. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." Thank you, darling. Don't allow your emotions to dictate to you. Let the wisdom of God dictate. I've taught this before. Mommy, thanks for bringing that out. Love is like a train. When you see a train moving, there's an engine at the front. Then the other parts of the train are just hooked to it. Are you listening to it? Those ones just follow where the engine goes. The engine of love is wisdom. That is why wisdom is the principal thing. Emotion and actions are just hooked to wisdom. If you don't hook your emotion to wisdom and you try and put emotion in the front, it's going to lead you in the wrong direction. You cannot really walk in the love of God without the wisdom of God, because you have to see things the way God sees them. Jehoshaphat, do not go to the house of Ahab. In Jesus' name, amen.